Good morning. I'm Kay Jones. Would you please rise with me as we read today's scripture? Matthew 13, 44 to 47. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind.
Thank you, Kay. You can be seated. I'm so excited this morning. We've been calling this Missions Month here at Lighthouse, and there's a lot of things that our church is involved with in terms of the rest of the planet. And so there is a young couple that they were part of worship ministry way back in the day in the aughts of this century. And I can't believe it's been that long. But Brandon and Jessica Craig, they up and moved their family. Did you guys have, how many kids do you have then? Two kids in 2011, and left rural southern Idaho to go to Moldova, an Eastern European former Soviet Union republic, to reach a relatively unreached people. And they have been just on the mission field for 15 years now, and the Lord has just been giving them favor, and Brandon's been just kind of promoted within Operation Mobilization, the mission group, which is a great mission organization that really targets the unreached peoples of the world. There are still many people who have not been reached with the gospel. And so this is the driving, this is the thing that drives OM, this is the thing that drives Brandon and Jessica and their family. And this, you know, little small town Idaho family, part of a local church here, felt God move upon them. And now Brandon is you're basically the leader of training for all 5,500 Operation Mobilization missionaries around the world. And so God has blessed he and Jessica mightily and is using them greatly. And they're one of us. So Brandon's going to share the word with us this morning. So let's welcome Brandon Craig.
Wow, thank you so much, Pastor Greg, for that introduction. And, you know, I'm reminded I was traveling in sub-Saharan Africa, and one of the bishops was there with just amazing intro like this. And I'll repeat his words when he got up. And he said, "May the Lord forgive you for what you've said, and may he forgive me for enjoying it so much." Wow, Lighthouse, it is always a privilege to be back home. As Pastor Greg said, I'm born and raised in Shoshone, Idaho. You know, so yeah, I grew up pig wrestling, all those weird southern Idaho traditions, but did not grow up in church. Grew up, yeah, in a very unchristian home, and in high school, I became a believer. And that was because Jeremy Connell invited me to youth group. And that was the beginning of God saying he had different plans. And we just were made aware of what Jesus was doing. So this morning, as I share, we're going to be talking about missions. And I just want to let you know from the beginning that I'm coming for you. Right? So you can't get mad at the end, right? It's not a surprise. My goal is that each and every one of you would see your purpose in joining God in what he's doing in his global mission, okay? So this is a bit of a disclaimer, okay? So I apologize for any damages that may be caused by the Holy Spirit when he wrecks plans that you thought you had for your future. Okay, because this is what happens when missionaries come, right? They come, they share, and sometimes it's kind of like, oh, we get a glimpse into their world, and Lord bless you for what you do. But I want to tell you, missions work is not the work of the missionary. Missions work is the work of the whole church. We need, if we want to see a difference in this world, we need the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. And so I personally believe that it used to be called the evangelization of the world, or the spreading of the gospel to all peoples, tribes, nations, tongues, and languages. I believe that is the supreme task of the church. Not the goal, but the supreme task. And you know, there are a lot of good things we need to be involved with. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of great causes that you should be fighting for and be involved in. But the supreme task of the church is the spreading of the gospel to all people. And the reason I say that is because it's the one thing Jesus mentioned at the very end in the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations. So we see that God loved the world. He sent his son into a world. Jesus gave his life for a world. And then in Mark 16, he says to us, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so that's what we do. That's why Jessica and myself and our family, that's why we went. It wasn't that there's some weird theology. It wasn't out of this personal calling and very specific few holy special people go do missions work. No, it was, look, I didn't grow up in church, so I never learned how to complicate things. It was like you read the Word of God, and if it says to do something, you do it. You live it out. And so I've always learned that, you know, you don't need a calling when you have a verse. And so Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations. So we're like, okay, we'll do what we can. So in 2011, we had two kids. We sold everything we had. We had a couple suitcases. It was our first time overseas. And we just went to live long-term in the former Soviet Republic of Moldova. And we lived there for 10 years, serving in discipleship, evangelism, church planting. My wife served in anti-human trafficking, Moldova, poorest country in Europe. And then in the Lord kind of had us in a journey in 2021. I became the international training director for OM. So currently, yeah, we oversee the training and discipleship for our 5,500 workers. We're in roughly 147 different countries around the world. And the goal is, though, to get to the least reached. We want to get to those who don't have access to Jesus, and we're going to dive into that. So that was just a brief little intro. So how are we going to do that, and why should you care? Maybe you're thinking, you know, I've made some lofty claims, and I want to use the scripture to kind of back up some of these proofs. But maybe you're sitting there going, well, yeah, but why should I care? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to look at it, and I think the kingdom of God is going to point us in this right direction. Let me just pray for us real quick. Lord, speak to us through your holy word. We so desperately need you. And there are a lot of people out there who don't even know how desperately they need you. So help us learn from you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. So the first point that we're going to look at as we examine the kingdom of God is what we call the hidden treasure. This is this first parable that Jesus shares with us. It says here, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. So you imagine this parable. There's this man, and he's working in this field. And now it doesn't necessarily say that he was seeking the treasure. We don't know if he knew it was there. I think the natural reading of the text is he just stumbled upon it. Poof, hits his foot. And suddenly he's like, what is this? And he starts uncovering, and it's like, this treasure is worth so much. He can't even comprehend how much treasure. We're not even talking millions, we're talking about billions. It's almost like the deeper he goes, the more treasure there is. And so I'm just picturing, you know, there's gold, there's silver and rubies, and then maybe the most precious thing, you know, a coupon. All you can eat Chick-fil-A for life. Yo! It's my sermon, I can say what I want. So this treasure is just worth so much. So what happens? He wants to obtain this treasure. So because he found it, his whole life changes at this point. His plans, his focus, the reason he lives now, he has a goal, a single pursuit to just obtain this treasure. It's worth so much. And it's worth so much, you just imagine as he goes home and, you know, he comes in and the wife, kids are there, and he's like, honey, we're selling the farm, you know, and the cars, and the dog too. Now, you keep the dog. But the wife's going, what? What are you talking about? He just starts selling everything. He's liquidating the business, selling all he possessed because he knows this treasure is worth so much more than anything I had before. Nothing even compares in worth to just obtaining this treasure. And it's worth so much to him. You know, he can put up with the scorn and the ridicule and the, what are you doing? You know, imagine his friends as he just suddenly just, his life changes dramatically and he's getting rid of everything, living strangely. And his friends are like, what are you, you're wasting your life. Why are you wasting your life? You're just getting rid of everything. It's like, are you crazy? Have you gone mad? And so he has to put up with all this, but he doesn't care. And we know that because he says, with joy. You imagine, he has all these voices yelling at him, confused, and but with joy, he's selling all that he has. And why? Because he sees it's worth giving up to gain this treasure. Everything else the world can offer is just worthless at that point. He traded everything lesser for something infinitely greater. Now, as I share this, I think if you are a follower of Jesus, I think you can relate to this story. Right? I mean, maybe you were seeking God. Maybe you were like, okay, I want to find God. I want to get to know him. But for a lot of us, we were just going through the normal field. We're just working in the field, going through life, going through the motions. And then what happens? Suddenly, poof, something happens and you're confronted with the kingdom of heaven, with this promise of hope and life and peace, things that you didn't have just working in the field. And I wanted to, so this treasure, this the kingdom of heaven, we know that's Jesus. It's not a what, it's a who. That is Jesus. You know, the scripture says nothing can compare to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. And in Colossians, it says, in him are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this fullness of Christ dwells richly in our hearts. He gives us life, and not just life, but life abundantly. This is this treasure we've obtained. And I just want to tell you, when you've obtained this treasure, it makes all the difference. One example that comes to mind is we were in Moldova and serving there, and poorest country in Europe, so there's a lot of elderly who've been left, abandoned. They struggle. They don't even know how to find food day to day. So what we would do is we would bring food packets to the elderly, and we would minister to them, show them the love of God. And I remember one village, and so there was a house on the left, a house on the right, and very similar. So the house is kind of made out of, like, you know, clay and straw bricks and, you know, thatched roofs and kind of falling apart, cracked windows, just very difficult living conditions. And so we go to this first house on the left, and we bring this food parcel, and I just remember this elderly woman just weeping. And just the hopelessness in that room. She was just crying out. Everyone has abandoned her. She doesn't know where her kids are. They've left somewhere else. She doesn't even know how she's going to eat every day. She's worried she's going to die. She's forgotten. There's no purpose in life. Oh, man, it was just so depressing being there. And so we give her this food parcel, and we're there to share the love of God. We try to minister to her. She's kind of open to it, but just weeping and crying at the, just wallowing in just the misery. You know, it was so difficult for our team to be there. So we stayed a little bit, you know, prayed for her, and then left. And then we went across the street with our other food packet, and we went to the next house. Almost same house, same looking house, cracked windows, kind of falling apart. And we walked in, and there was this woman. Now, in this village, there was only three Christians in this whole village, and this lady was one of them. And we walk into this house, and she greets us with hugs and smiles and joy, and she's blessing us, and she's like, I knew you would come because God is so faithful. He's always taking care of me. And you know what? Even if I don't eat, even if he didn't, I would still worship him because he's so good to me. And there's just so much joy. And she starts ministering to us. I'm so glad you're reaching this village. How can I pray for you? How can I help you? And our team was shocked. And I was like, no. You don't understand how this works. We minister to you. You're not supposed to minister to us. And I just want to say the joy in that house was just defies logic. This is what it's like when you have the treasure. This is what it's like when you have Jesus. He makes all of the difference. But as we look at this parable, there's a really big assumption about this parable. And this parable assumes that there is treasure in that field. It assumes the treasure was there, that you could stumble upon it, right? If there's nothing there, instead of hitting it, you would just keep going about your day. Every day, years go by, then you get old, you're just going through the motions. There's no treasure there. So why do I say that? Because 42% of our world is what we call unreached. Now, terms are very important, so I want us to understand what we mean by that. I always like to ask, are there unreached people here in Twin Falls? And the answer is no. Okay. Now, I see some of the looks you're giving me. You're like, it is. I will grab you by the arm and show you the unreached people. Okay, let's define. There are lost people here. I'm sure you have people in your family, colleagues who are lost. They need Jesus. And that's why God has you here. You are salt and light to them. You're there to demonstrate the kingdom of God and also speak the kingdom of God, to share Jesus with them. It's so important. They are lost. But what do we mean then by unreached? And this is important. In the missiological world, we have to have terms to define what's going on. And so when we say unreached, it literally means without access. They're not followers of Jesus because they don't care. It's because they don't have a choice. An unreached, when we say that, it means someone who will be born, live their life, and they will die without even once hearing about Jesus. That's 42% of our world. There's no Bibles, there's no churches, there's no Christians. In fact, as of 2025, 87% of all Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists will never meet a Christian in their whole life. This is what we mean when we talk about the unreached. You know, if Jesus is this greatest treasure, what are we doing? You know, and to help you understand the unreached, like we live in Japan, and when I found this out, it was a shocker, but Japan's second largest unreached people group on earth. 0.3% of the population are believers. And in fact, in the last 5 years, you can look at the census, that's gone down by 35%. They actually meet the international criteria for being an endangered species. And so to give you an example, you know, we're there ministering, and my wife is doing a Bible study with a lady who's not a believer. And so for Thanksgiving, we like to invite the locals over, wherever we're at, Moldova, Japan. And we do like a celebration service. And so we always put out scriptures when we have Thanksgiving meal. And everyone gets to read, you know, some passages on being thankful and grateful and joy. And so my wife's friend brought her family over. And so she had two kids. And her eldest daughter, sharp, you know, young 20s, she's studying at one of the most prestigious universities in Tokyo. Just a very bright woman. And so we go around, we all read the verses, and at the end, she's holding her verse, the daughter, and she goes, "What's this?" And we go, "Oh, that's a passage from the Bible. It's a verse from the Bible." And she says, "What's a Bible?" And so we actually grabbed this one. We came and showed her. She says, "Have you ever seen?" She had no idea. Never even heard of this thing called a Bible in her life. And this is what we mean by unreached. 24, bright, sharp, university student in Japan, never even heard, let alone the gospel message. And so if Jesus is our greatest treasure, I mean, how come 40% of our world has still never heard of his name the first time? That's why we do missions work. So what's it going to take? You know, what is it going to take from us? You know, I believe, you know, long-term, healthy missionary sending and missionary going isn't birthed out of guilt or obligation, right? You see it. This man's not obligated. But what was he doing? He was joyfully sacrificing. He joyfully sold everything that he had. And so I think joyful sacrifice from this parable seems to me to be the evidence that we have rightly seen the treasure. So it's birthed from joy. And the second reason, the second motive for how we do long-term healthy sending and going amongst the unreached is found in this next parable that we're going to look at together. So before I read it, Anyone here like studying like hermeneutics, a little bit of deep dive on scripture? Some of us? Okay, well, please, we're going to do just a couple minutes of what I call nerding out. A little bit of hermeneutical nerding out. So if that's not your thing, that's okay. It won't be long. It's a couple minutes. So before we read it, these two parables, at first glance, they look analogous. Like they look like they're the same thing, because often in scripture, you'll hear two different examples that mean the same thing from a slightly different perspective. For example, you know, you're a city on a hill, or you're a light on a lampstand. You know, it's like, okay, same idea. Maybe there's some subtle things we can examine. And so this parable looks like that. But there's one thing, as I was going through this, actually, if it's trying to convey the same idea, it's written wrong, right? Because there's something in here that's actually, there's one thing that's different that completely changes the meaning of this second parable. So we're going to read it, and I want to see if you can catch it. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. So I don't know if you caught that. What was the thing? Let's unpack it. Okay. In the first parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Okay? It's the treasure that person finds. But in the second one, if the second parable wanted to be the same as the first, what it should say is the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great value that a merchant finds and sold all he has, and he bought it. Then it would be the same idea. But it doesn't say that. So it says the kingdom is like a merchant. It's like a merchant. The difference being, in the first one, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's the thing that you find. It's the thing that is sought after. You seek for that treasure. You find the treasure. But in this parable, Jesus is saying it's like a merchant. The kingdom of heaven is the thing doing the seeking. It's the merchant. The kingdom of heaven is like personified as a man who's searching. He's seeking for something. And when he finds it, he gives up everything that he has for it. And so what is this? Who do we know from the kingdom of heaven personified that came seeking? Came to seek and save that which was lost. I think that's Jesus. That's not us. Like in the first parable, we're the people who find the treasure. I think what Jesus is sharing in this parable is this merchant is him. He is the one doing the seeking. And what does he find? It's like, okay, that's Jesus. Then who is the pearl of great value then? If Jesus is the merchant, I think that's you. I think you're the pearl of great value that he finds. It's us. It's people that God values more than anything. These people that he gave everything for. And, you know, we could say it's his church. It's his bride. We have these scriptures, you know, from Ephesians, when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. And in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that we were bought at a price. And in 1 Peter, you were ransomed. A price was paid for you from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, but not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but you were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. This is the merchant. He paid everything. Jesus, when he died for you, you are the pearl of great value in his eyes. And so how does this relate to missions? You know, the question is, you know, why would anyone then joyfully give up comfort and security and rights and riches and even life itself to make sure people can hear the gospel? Well, it's because Jesus did it first for us. Jesus did it. And after the resurrection, John 20:21, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. So why do we do missions? Because Jesus sends us. He did it first to be Christ-like. We want to be like him. We want to do what he did. He gave up everything for us. We want to do the same so that some may hear. And so we don't just make disciples. As we go and share the gospel, we say every follower of Jesus is both a disciple and a disciple maker. So in all parts of the world, even difficult, unreached areas, when we raise people up, we teach them how to also go and start to share Jesus. And this happens, and people do it joyfully. I want to share a story from the Horn of Africa. A good friend I have, he was making disciples there, and one of his disciples, we'll call him John. This is the English name. John was became a Christian. He was previously a Muslim, so we call him MBB, a Muslim background believer. Came to faith, radical coming to Jesus moment, and then we equip him, so he starts sharing his faith as well. He's so excited to be telling people about Jesus because he found this treasure. And she's sharing his faith, and he's in his community and family. Eventually, his family, though, who are still Muslims, they turn him in to the religious leaders, to the authorities. And as punishment for leaving their religion, they cut off his arm just below the elbow. So we rescued him, and he's still a soul winner. But soon after, my friend sat down with John, because my friend led him to Christ, and he just kind of felt a little guilty, like, oh man, I'm so sorry this happened. He sits down with John and just says, John, do you ever regret what happened? And John sat there and looked at my friend. He said, if they came in through those doors right now and demanded my other arm, I would gladly give it for the joy of following Jesus. And so we have this quote, why do we do these things? Well, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. So what is the need? I mean, maybe you're thinking, okay, wow, this is great, but don't we have missionaries going? Isn't this happening? What's going on in the world? Well, there's some good news and some not good news. So yes, there are missionaries serving, praise the Lord. There are less missionaries today than 30 years ago. So we're less involved today. But there's still about 400,000 full-time cross-cultural missionary workers today. But of those 400,000, only 3% go to the 40% who have never heard about Jesus. The other 97% go to areas where there are Bibles, Christians, and churches. And now, remember, I said there's a lot of great causes. I want to honor the sacrifice of any family who goes anywhere for any reason to tell people about Jesus. If you haven't done it, it's so difficult. So I honor anyone who's doing that. But I just want to share the stats because this helps us rediscover what is the purpose of missions. This was for Jessica and I. Like, we were serving, and you know, when we first joined, 2011, there was 2.4 billion unreached. And I remember thinking, wow. And we were serving, you know, sometimes for some reason, missions became just do Christian things in another country. So, you know, we have all these missionaries just serving. And then I remember it hit 2.7 billion. 3 billion. Now it's well over 3 billion, 3.6 billion. The unreached are growing faster than they're being reached. So at some point we have to go, wait, we're doing missions. Aren't we supposed to be impacting this? And so we rediscover what was God's original plan. Let's not invent something new. Maybe we missed something from Scripture, and let's live out the example that Christ gave to us and that the early church lived in the book of Acts. When we look financially, it tells a similar story. These are stats I just pulled as of 2024. So on average, Christians give 1.86% of their income to any Christian cause. 6% of that 1.86% on average goes to missions. And 1.7% of that 6% goes to anyone working with the unreached. Which it just means for every 100,000 that Christians make, $1.83 goes to reaching the unreached with the gospel for the first time. And this is what's being called the great imbalance. David Platt is pushing this. There's the radical movement. There's the We Are Church. There's a lot of people getting on board. And so we just have to ask questions. Not only why is it most Christians, we've never heard of this. But the second question is, are we okay with this? I have a short video for us.
Over 3 billion people have never heard about Christ's love for them.
Never. And their number grows by around 60,000 per day.
Almost 22 million a year.
That's the population of Singapore, London, and New York combined.
These are families, communities, entire groups of people who are living without the knowledge of why they were made.
and how much they are loved by God. And many of them have no choice in the matter. There's no church, no Bible, no Jesus follower among them.
As followers of Jesus, it's up to us to share God's hope and love.
Since 1957, OM has been on a mission to introduce Jesus to those who don't know him. And that legacy lives on today.
We are a movement of workers from more than 120 nationalities.
All of us driven to share God's love with those who don't know him.
When people put their hope in Jesus,
his love can spread like wildfire.
And when that happens,
lives are transformed.
Vibrant, Christ-centered communities are born, and generations are changed forever.
Our vision is personal.
And our reach is global.
We equip and connect believers to take part in God's mission in every place, sharing his love with every person.
As a mix of traditional missionaries,
marketplace professionals,
artists, pastors, teachers, and more,
we use our God-given skills,
passions, and gifts to do the work that every Jesus follower is called to. We wake up each day with the confidence that the God of the universe is with us.
This emboldens us, empowers us, and keeps us moving forward. There is no place too far,
no task too difficult,
and no individual we will not try to reach. Because there are 3 billion reasons we cannot stop.
Why we will not stop. The need is great.
But our God is greater.
And he's called all of us to do this great work together.
How will you be a part of his life-changing movement?
I get so excited about what God is doing. Sign me up. I believe, you know, I have so much joy just seeing how the Lord is working. I believe we can see the Great Commission fulfilled in our lifetime. It's not impossible. Sometimes we think, oh, that's just going to exist forever. We have the resources, we have the people to see it done. Because this generation can only reach this generation, right? Like all these unreached people, maybe in 100 years someone gets to them. But in 100 years there'll be a different, you know, 8-9 billion people than there are today. People today, they only have this amount of time to hear the gospel and put their faith in Jesus. And we believe it's possible. And that's why we go. That's why we get involved. And what's cool is God has a plan. And it's this last parable. It'll be very quick. And I love God made it so simple for us. And so in this last parable is the fishing net. And so we'll just read here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea. And it gathered fish of every kind. So the kingdom of heaven is the treasure, and then it's the merchant. Now it's the means. It's the effective means to catch fish of every kind. Later in the parable, you know, the angels sort it all out, but the net should be cast. And this is God's plan. You have goers and you have senders. You need people. He says, just cast out the net. Just make sure you're sending the gospel. Get the gospel out. It's effective. But you have to send it out. And so God's plan is so simple and genius. I love it. It says here in Romans, how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? He could have said, how are they to hear unless they go? He said, just go. But he doesn't say that. He says sent. Because missions work is designed always to be done in a team of churches like Lighthouse, people like you. You have senders and we have goers to get the gospel to those who for the first time can finally hear this amazing story and get to know their creator. Maybe you heard this, this made national news. It's just a story that happened in Romania. We were living nearby at the time. There was a 3-year-old boy who fell into a well, 15-foot well, and got stuck. And for 11 hours, they had the firefighters, the ambulance, police, city service. They couldn't rescue the boy in this tiny little well. They were trying to dig it up. You can see the hole. But then the weight, the pressure on the well could cause it to collapse. So they worked for 11 hours. And finally, they said, we don't know what to do. And this little boy on the left, his name's Christian. He's 14 years old. He said, I'll do it. send me down. I'll go into the pit. I'll pull up the child. And so they harnessed him up, and you can see all of the workers. There's just an army of people lowering Christian down as he went into the darkness, rescued this child. And just, you can see the video of it, the celebration and the kisses and the crying as this boy was rescued. And I just think, what a beautiful picture of missions. Yeah, Jessica and I, we're willing to go down, but we don't do it by ourselves. You need a team. You know, you have to have people holding the rope. And so my encouragement, I told you I was coming for you, is just make sure with what God is doing in this world, make sure you're not a spectator. Go or send someone in your place and be involved in what God is doing across the earth because people need it. There are real people who for the first time can hear about Jesus. And so practical takeaway, also, you don't have to support us by any means. I'm just encouraging you. Find a missionary. Find someone who's going to the unreached. It doesn't have to be us. I'm sure you know people, but just get involved. Hold the rope or go because you can make an eternal impact for someone in the world because we see God doing that. Very last thing as I close, just two very important points. The first is, man, we're talking about people meeting Jesus in far parts of the world, but maybe there's someone here that also needs to meet with Jesus. And as I was sharing about this field and wandering in this field, maybe you were sitting there going, that's me. I relate to that. I'm just stuck in this daily grind, and you have questions that no one can answer. And you're wondering, what is the purpose of this? What's the purpose of life? What is the meaning? Why do I exist? And you're just going through the motions, and you're wondering, is there something more? And today you came into Lighthouse, and now, poof, you've experienced that treasure, the kingdom of heaven. And it's Jesus Christ, and he wants to meet with you today, this morning. So I just want to ask, if that's you this morning, and you've never followed Jesus, you've never had this treasure, but you know your heart is beating, and that's you, and you're like, I wandered in. And I know there has to be something more. You know when you leave what's out there, what's waiting for you. Just the same old. But here's the hope of a promise of something of infinite worth to you. And so if you've never put your faith in Jesus, or you did a long time ago and you've strayed and you're like, oh, I want to come back to the treasure. If that's you this morning, we just want to journey with you. We want to help you. So with every head up and every eye open, if that's you and you say, I want to know this treasure, I want to follow Jesus and I'm not. Will you just raise your hand? We want to journey with you. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I made this commitment as a high schooler in a broken home. I said, Jesus, I can't do it. And he met me. And we want to help you meet Jesus. Is there anyone else? I'll give you a few more seconds that says, yeah, I want to know about Jesus. Thank you in the back. God bless you. Jesus is going to meet with you this morning. This is going to change your whole life. You're going to encounter Jesus, and it's going to change everything. A couple more seconds. Anyone else? Thank you. Those of you who raised your hand, please talk with us. I know we have some Lighthouse staff who we just want to meet with you and help you encounter Jesus that we have all encountered. And the last thing, I know it's a bit over, I'm sorry. If you were like, support anyone, but if, you know, Philippians says, Paul writing, you were concerned, but you lacked opportunity. And so if you want to get involved in missions and you're like, I want to send someone to our place, I want to help someone getting to the least reached, would you consider joining Jessica and I? We're back. We have to support raise. We still need an additional $900 per month in committed givings to serve our next term, so there is a need. So in the back, we have this QR code. We're raising a team, a prayer team, a harvest team, praying for the harvest fields, and kingdom builders, those who monthly want to join us in what God is doing. So meet us in the back, please. We have our prayer card for you. We need so much prayer. And we just want to thank you so much for the chance to be back home here with you guys and encourage you about what God is doing amongst the unreached. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brandon. To be kind of confronted with the reality of so many people in the world that are in the unreached. They don't have access. And to think that we could be a part of that, of reaching the unreached. And we've got a couple from southern Idaho, part of our church, that are out there reaching the unreached. That's pretty remarkable. So we have, as a church, have supported Brandon and Jessica and the family for pretty much their whole mission time. There's individuals in our church that have supported them. And so if you want to be a part of their support team, highly encourage you to get on board, connect with them after church. And listen, we're gonna get up. We're going to go to the communion table. We're going to think about the fact that Jesus came on mission. Jesus is a missionary sent from heaven to reach you, to reach me. And we're going to think about the cost. And then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us. What's my part in this story, Lord? What's my part? Am I a goer? Are you calling me to go to a part of the world where there's unreached people? Am I a sender? Lord, you've given me resources. Do you want me to use the resources that you've given me to resource people who are going? So, Lord, we just ask that as we come to the table this morning, that you would just be ministering to each of us, speaking to us about our part in global missions, reaching this world for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're welcome to get up and make your way to the communion table. Listen, if you're one of the ones who raised your hand this morning, you know, really, salvation is by grace through faith. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then confess with your mouth that he is Lord, that you shall be saved. And so if you raised your hand right now, you can make that profession of faith. You can confess Christ as Lord. As a matter of fact, let's all just in prayer right now. Lord, we pray for those who raise their hand and ask God that you would usher them into the kingdom. If you raised your hand today, would you pray right now? Just this is your confession of Christ and Lord as Lord. And just say, Lord Jesus, I put my faith in you and believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead. And I confess you as my Lord. I give you my life. Thank you for saving me. In your name we pray, amen. Lord, we now pray over the bread and we just... we reflect, we remember the great cost that was paid by you for us. And Lord, that you would consider us the pearl of great price. That you would come from heaven on mission for us. And Lord, it came that great humiliation to you, great shame, as they beat you and spit on you and nailed you to a cross. So we remember, Lord, today we remember. Bless the bread as we do. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's see. All right, let's take the cup now. Lord, your blood shed for us, the blood of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, because you've paid the price for us, we can give up what we can't keep in order to gain what we can't lose. And so we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you that we are washed in the blood of Christ. Thank you that we are forgiven. Bless the cup as we remember in your name. Amen. Let's drink.